Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
We have been talking about generations this week. We're calling it the generational series. And in our podcast, the two, Rainer on Leadership and the one, Revitalize and Replant, we have talked all things generation. We've talked to Rainer Leadership about Gen Z, and now we're about to talk about millennials. And at Revitalize and Replant, we talked about how can you reach kids when you don't have any millennial families in your church. So it's been all things generation. Now we're going to talk about my generation, the boomer generation. And if we had a pre-roll on this, which we don't, and we listened to it, there'd be a lot of weird conversation going on because you got Jonathan, he's in the Nashville office. I'm in the Franklin, Tennessee office. Amy's in Virginia. And we kind of have conversations in between podcasts as we're recording them. We're talking about 60 songs. Well, Amy and I were talking about 60 songs. I think Jonathan kind of just totally checked out and said, I wish they'll get done talking about their music.
That's exactly what I did.
I could see you on the Zoom screen. You were checked out. But Amy, I was asking her who sang this, and she said this one was by The Who. And then she found another one. She said, oh, it's by the same group. I said, no, it's the Guess Who. And she said, same group? No, Who and the Guess Who are different ones. And I shared the little trivia with her that one of the original band members of the Guess Who was Creech on The Office. So, Jonathan, we had all this
Creed.
Creed.
Sorry, I can't Creed. Let that go by. Sorry.
Okay. Creed. I'm sorry. Creed on The Office. You can tell how much I remember about The Office. And Jonathan's just kind of totally checked out. But we had this great boomer conversation between a boomer and a millennial. And Jonathan, you are not tuned in at all. But we're going to talk about my generation, the baby boomers. And I am going to talk on a very serious note about why we should not abandon this generation. Before we begin, we always want to thank our lead sponsor for this. We're so grateful for the ministry that they've had and have provided to us.
Yes, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary sponsors each and every episode of Rainer on Leadership, and they also offer more than 25 degrees at both the undergraduate and master's level that are all fully attainable online. From business to Bible counseling to Christian education, you can prepare for your future at your own pace in your own location. You can learn more about this at mbts.edu/online.
Jonathan, why did you join the conversation about Office to make sure I got Creed instead of Creech right? But you were totally tuned out during the conversation pre-roll about the 60s music.
Because I care about The Office.
Okay.
And I don't care about 60s music. But yes, Creed Bratton is the name of the guy from the Guess Who. And also the name of the character. Not the same, but same guy.
Yeah, yeah. So that was his real life name too. You've done a little Googling while we've been waiting. That's good. That is good. Let's talk about this boomer generation. And even though we are old, I'm right in the middle of the boomer generation and I'm about to turn 64. So we're an older bunch of folks. Even though we're old, there's still reasons to reach this generation. Jonathan, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. And one of the main reasons is that there are still a lot of you guys around. There's a lot of boomers.
There are, and I'm going to do it in two different ways, and it may surprise you. I'm not going to jump to number two right now. There's a little bit of coincidental information there, but between 1946 and 1964, 76 million boomers were born. At the time, the largest generation in history, the millennials surpassed them with 78 million, but still huge number. The post-World War II brought a baby boom, a lot of optimism, a lot of money, a lot of economic prosperity, and a lot of spoiled brats were raised during my generation, and I was one of them among the boomers. And we've often talked about this generation as self-centered, narcissistic, and again, as a generalization, there's a lot of truth that is there. They really brought the low expectation church into vogue, which is unfortunate, but we still should not abandon this generation. There are a lot of them. There were 76 million born between 1946 and 64. Those are live births. Those are people who were on this planet for some length of time. 76 million is not a generation to be neglected.
Yes, and like you mentioned, there are still 76 million living boomers.
Here's the coincidence. The number of boomers who have died have almost been precisely replaced by immigrants. So,
so it's stayed the same.
It has stayed the same.
That's fascinating.
I actually did not know that until I did a little bit of research for this podcast. I not only wanted to know the number of live births, I wanted to know how many are still around. And I was reading the demographics on this, and there it was. Every person, almost every boomer who's died has been replaced with an immigrant of similar age. And so we had 76 million born, and even though a number have already gone, we now still have 76 million. So net immigration has brought us to where we still have a large generation around. I would have thought it would have been significantly smaller. The oldest boomer was born in 1946. By the way, Nellie Joe actually saw on Facebook that one of my seminary buddies died yesterday.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it is. Part of what we call the round table at Southern Seminary back in the 80s. His name was Charlie Baroneau, and he lived in the same, we called it the Gospel Ghetto Seminary Village. He and his kids lived there. And during that time, got to know him very well. Did not know, haven't had any contact with Charlie for some time. Did not know that he was sick. But Steve posted it. So my sympathy to the Baroneau family. His kids are about the age of my sons. So we remember them very well. Mm. So Jonathan, there are still 76 million boomers around, and we need to start reaching this generation.
One of the fascinating things about the boomers, because of the place they are in life, 10,000 boomers retire every day. So a lot more free time, maybe even a lot more opportunity to reach them now that they're retired.
You are exactly right, Jonathan. We have a number of them retiring every single day. And you just think about the implications of that. Now, to be clear, 65 is not a definitive retirement date, but the reality of it is approximately that many are still retiring every day, whether they are 65, 68, 62, 71, that many are still retiring every day. 10,000 boomers retire. You know, what are the implications behind that? Well, one of the implications is many of these boomers are in your church. Many of them are carrying the church financially, though I hate to use that phrase, that almost acts like they're paying their way. But many of these boomers now have more time on their hands, and they are looking to make a difference, because really many of these boomers have gone through life and they just wondered, is this all there is? Even those who are in church. You remember the commitment I made 3 years ago, Jonathan?
You were going to be in church every Sunday as best you could. I was your local church. You're in church every Sunday anyway. But
yeah. I was somewhere, but I wanted to be in my home church. And I have a designated two home churches. Both of them where my sons are pastored, Church at Spring Hill, where Jess is pastor, West Bradenton Baptist, where Sam is pastored, and basically about a 3/4, 1/4 split, mostly in the church at Spring Hill. And I made this commitment. I think it was a kind of a boomer type of thing. I could continue to travel and accept speaking engagements to preach all over the place, but I just did not want to. I wanted to plant myself and just be a church member, and not just in the sense that it's not meaningful. I wanted to just do those things that church members are supposed to do. And I've got to tell you, these past 3 years have been very, very fulfilling. Whether I'm taking out trash because we're a church plant, we don't have a cleaning crew, or whether I'm filling in for my son on occasion. He didn't let me preach too much because he didn't want to run off the young people, but still on occasion I preach, or whether I'm leading my community group, or whether I'm doing pray and go, or whatever the case may be, serving on the welcome team as an introvert. It's just been some of the most rewarding times that I've had. Keep in mind, you've got boomers who are asking those questions, what do I do now? And you may have some great opportunities to bring them on. I have mentioned on more than one occasion that Sam is bringing on a lot of part-time workers, and he had a full-time staff member resign, and so he replaced that one with 10 part-timers. And it's not just interns at a younger age, it is including some boomers as well. And so it's a great opportunity to say, these people are ready for ministry, maybe at a greater depth. Let's take advantage of it.
You kind of mentioned the trying to reach them. Of the boomer generation, approximately 50 million are not Christians. So there's a lot out there to reach.
Yeah. And obviously, those are the ones who are still alive. Reaching the gospel with them otherwise would be a bit challenging. So we're talking about 50 million boomers that are still alive today, who, to the best of our knowledge, and I mentioned this in the generational series on another podcast, when you're talking about generations, you're talking generalizations. And as I mentioned in the podcast, on a previous podcast, anytime I speak right about any generation, people say, well, that's not my experience. Some will say that. Of course it's not. There are exceptions. There are outliers. Of course it's not everybody's experience. But to the best of our knowledge, we think that there are 50 million who are not Christians. Those are the surveys we've done. They are maybe not precise, but they're good indicators. 50 million people who have not been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are facing a Christless eternity. This is not a generation that we can abandon just because they are older. And usually most churches have a strategy to reach younger people. That's fine. But in the case of the boomers, I think we need to start thinking about what can we do to reach this generation with the gospel. This generation was not that receptive when they were going through young adulthood, middle adulthood, but it seems as if, this is anecdotal information, it's not survey-based, it seems as if they are getting more receptive to the gospel. So not only are there 50 million out there, this may be an opportunity to reach them in ways that you never have. I hope Jeffrey does not mind me sharing this. You know who Jeffrey Reed is, don't you?
Yeah.
He was sharing a story about his mother. Jeffrey, the Christian faith, according to Jeffrey's testimony, skipped a generation. His parents were not Christians. He was more influenced by his grandfather. And, of course, he's had this great burden for his mom and dad, now divorced, to be reached with the gospel. And he's now he tells the story very freely how his mom is now a believer, a recent believer, the gospel story about how a late boomer has just accepted Christ. Of course, we're praying for his father as well. But that is just one anecdotal example of a boomer who has been reached late in life. We typically talk about receptivity to the gospel in younger years. That's a reality, but they're just indications. There really are indications that this generation can be reached with the gospel. And I would encourage churches of all age groups and all backgrounds to start focusing on how they might reach the boomer generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All right. Number five, the immigrant boomers are not like U.S. born boomers. It probably goes without saying, but it does need to be addressed.
You know what I like, Jonathan?
What?
I like driving Uber. I like riding an Uber, not driving Uber.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you would like driving Ubers.
I like riding Ubers. I've stuck with Uber instead of Lyft as my ride sharing of choice. And we can debate that on and on and on. I'm a fairly new Uber driver because you used to travel with me and you used to drive.
I was your Uber.
Yes, you were my Uber, and now that I have retired from Lifeway and you're not traveling with me on these trips, I go by myself. And sometimes Amy will say, "You want a rental car?" I say, "No, I'll just get an Uber." And I'm just learning absolutely to love Uber. Now that sounds weird for someone who's an introvert, but every Uber trip to me is a exercise in research. Two ways. One, I want to learn about the gig economy. And so I ask them endless questions about, are you full-time? What are your other jobs? And I just get into a great conversation, make sure I tip them well, because I usually, believe it or not, I'm talking their ears off and listening to them. But so far, and again, I'm just getting started in this world, for the several Uber cars that I've had, 100% have been driven by immigrants, 100%. I've had a Middle East immigrant. I've had two Hispanic immigrants, one from Mexico, one from Cuba. I'm trying to remember another one I recently had. But anyway, immigrants, and I love listening to them. And of the immigrants, a couple of them are boomer immigrants, and I'm just listening to their stories. And it's just incredibly rewarding to hear their work ethic, to hear how they view America and the opportunities that are there. When you read about the boomer generation, there was countless books that were written about the boomer generation, both from a secular perspective and from the church perspective. Lots of books written about the boomer generation. And when you read about the boomers, you're going to find basically a description of the American-born boomers. Now, keep in mind that the reason we have 76 million boomers today is because immigration has replaced those who are dying. And so a lot of the boomers are immigrants. I was in a conversation with my Uber driver yesterday, day before yesterday, and he thought it was just normal. He spoke three languages. He spoke Portuguese, Spanish, and English, and he just thought that was normal. And I'm just amazed to listen to these. I only speak two languages, English and Alabama, and I'm just amazed.
Which are not the same, by the way.
That's why I call them two languages, y'all. It's just understand that with the boomer generation, there's a large immigrant population that is out there to be reached, and many of them are Christians, and they're ready to serve as well. So a great opportunity to reach many, many with the gospel of Christ, but a great opportunity to engage immigrant boomers in ministry as well.
And then finally, the boomers are becoming increasingly receptive to giving to nonprofits. This goes back to our discussions that we've had on financial planning and wealth management as far as, I guess, estate planning.
Yeah, estate planning, planned giving, all of those types of things. Most evangelical leaders, mainline are a little bit better than evangelical leaders in this, are hesitant to talk to boomers, some builders, to boomers about their estates, because it feels like to them, hey, when you die, will you give us money? And there's a little bit of truth to that, but it's not the sum and substance of it. Here is the reality. We've mentioned this on a previous podcast dealing with stewardship issues, and we'll put show notes in of the book that we've mentioned on more than one occasion. What is it? Not Your Parents' Offering Plate?
Something. It is. Cliff Christopher's Not Your Parents' Offering Plate.
So we'll put that in the show notes too. Really, really insightful. Here's what's going on. Many boomers of varying wealth are becoming more generous. But who is calling on them about being generous? Nonprofits other than churches. And many pastors will find out that this particular boomer family or builder family gave this amount of money to a nonprofit, and they may have the courage to say, why didn't you think about giving some to the church? And the response is typically, you never ask. I didn't think you needed it. I didn't think the church needed it because you never ask. We shouldn't be looking at boomers as an ATM for our churches, but we should be looking at the boomers as a source of stewardship giving in a biblical type of way. And the boomers, are becoming increasingly receptive to giving. And in times where we're talking about church revitalization, I'm trying to remember where I saw this story. It may have been on Church Answers. We have so many sources of information it was in a book. I got to give credit to the book here. We got too many resources here. Not too many. We got another one. This book is called Dying to Restart by Greg Weins, spelled W-I-E-N-S, and Dan Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R. And it's stories about churches in need of dire revitalization or primarily replanting. And one of the authors talks about the story when they got really serious about revitalization, how I think a $50,000 gift just showed up. And it was from a boomer who just said, oh, you told us we had a need, so I thought that I would give it toward the revitalization, or in this case, the replant. And again, this is a generation that does, not all of them, but does have some level of wealth. And why not be bold enough to say, your local church is doing ministry, if you're going to give, consider giving to us. The boomers are becoming increasingly receptive to giving to nonprofits. Jonathan, that concludes the three-part series on generations, on generational issues that we've done on Revitalize and Replant, and that we've done on the two episodes of Rainer on Leadership. And we go through all these, and I just always reminded that we get to do what we do about such things because we have generous sponsors, generous givers to this particular podcast, as well as Revitalize and Replant. We mentioned Midwestern at the front end. Now we want to thank also Vander Blumen.
Yeah, Vander Blumen has 12 Vander Blumen differences that allow them to serve their clients better than anyone else. One of those is that theology matters. Vander Blumen staff has more seminary and theological experience than any other search firm, with more than 250 collective years of church leadership experience on staff. To learn more about all 12 of Vander Blumen's differences, visit vanderdifference.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Once again, we're concluding this week's series on generational issues. We did 5 intriguing updates on Gen Z and churches at Rainer on Leadership at the early part of the week. Then we came along with Revitalize and Replant, did 6 reasons. I'm sorry, how can a church without kids reach millennial families with kids? And today we did 6 reasons why churches should not abandon the boomer generation. We have a few generational resources that are in the show notes as well. If you didn't listen to other podcasts on generational issues, go back and check them out, both at Rainer on Leadership and Revitalize and Replant. Thank you, as always, for both of the listening audiences, which includes a lot of overlap, but thank you for being a part of those podcasts.
As a church leader, you know how tough marriage can be. There's never enough time to help every couple. There's never enough resources to go around, and we often don't feel like marriage experts. That's why we want to tell you about Woo Marriage, a brand new tool from Lifeway that provides Christ-centered marriage coaching for every couple in your church. Backed by research and design with your church in mind, Woo Marriage provides a plan for your marriage ministry with video courses for all seasons of marriage. Whether you need to prepare couples for marriage, strengthen marriages, or restore relationships, you'll have an affordable, flexible plan right at your fingertips. There are courses for communication, managing finances, handling conflict, and many more. Try it free for 1 month with offer code leadership when you go to woomarriage.com/free trial. That's offer code leadership when you check out at woomarriage.com/free trial. Once again, thanks for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.